Previously on Your Kingdom Come.
For this is our big idea. It says this: there's a priceless treasure that's out there, but not all will be found with it. The first question really is, okay, what is the treasure? Well, the treasure, the kingdom of heaven, right? I mean, we keep going over and over and over into this. It's this relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ that he sent. It's of such value that I should be willing to get rid of everything so that I could have one thing. The collective church is the vessel of the gospel, but we don't do the saving or the separating. What's our job? Cast the net. Whether it happens the first time somebody hears the gospel or whether it happens the 1,000th time somebody hears the gospel, it is no less miraculous because it is somebody that was dead who is now alive. And the first person that shares the gospel with somebody and gets rejected and the last person that shares the gospel with somebody and it gets received, they both, the person that said it first thinks they did nothing. The person that shared it last thinks they did everything and they're both wrong.
Well, good morning. I'm so thankful that you were here this morning to worship the Lord with me. I'm so thankful for my faith family, thankful for the opportunity we have to worship the Lord together. I'm so thankful for our choir and our music ministry. The songs minister to me every Sunday morning, as I'm sure they do to you as well. Couldn't help but think as choir was leading us in that last song, I remember that song being sung, I think it was on the worship set, Jimbo, maybe a week or two after the boys went in the hospital for us last year. And I just remember singing that song and surrendering that to the Lord. And I don't know if anybody here has a battle they're facing this morning, but I know that God's faithful and that he's good. Amen. And he is with us no matter what we may face. That's free this morning. Has nothing to do with the sermon. So let me ask you to turn to Matthew 13 today. Just wanted to share a little testimony of what God was doing in my heart in those last few minutes. Matthew 13, we're going to continue in our study of the Gospel of Matthew today. I'm very thankful for Rob preaching last week. Thank you for allowing my family and I to have a few days away to go and visit my sister. And I always enjoy getting to visit family. She just had her first child, and so we got to go see my little niece, and so grateful for that opportunity we had to get away. I'm thankful for our staff who faithfully preach God's word whenever I'm out or have other things going on. I was shared at the early service, whenever my family and I are out of town on a Sunday, we aren't out very often on a Sunday, but when we are, we make it a point that we always want to go to church somewhere. We try to find a local church body that we can go and study the scripture with and worship the Lord with. And so we were in the Chattanooga area in a little community called Soddy Daisy, okay? And so we went to First Baptist Soddy Daisy and small congregation there. I was talking with the pastor after the service and we were just kind of, you know, just getting to know each other a little bit. And I shared with him how thankful I am that every time I'm away, I have full confidence and faith that the men who stand in this pulpit are going to bring God's word. And I'm thankful for our team, thankful for our staff, thankful for Rob bringing God's word faithfully last week. I'm even more thankful that he chose not to cut it short. He threatened to only preach half the verses. I'm thankful that he preached them all because I studied for this text today. So turn to Matthew 13, 51 through 58 will be our passage of scripture. Last week we finished looking at some of the parables of Jesus. We have one short one left today that we're going to study in today's passage. But let's pick up in verse 51. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples after teaching the parables, and he says this: "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." When Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Would you pray with me this morning as we take a look at God's word together? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the rock of scripture that we can stand faithfully upon. I thank you for the promises that are in your word. God, promises that we just sung about, the promise of the gospel, the promise of your faithfulness to us, the promise that you're powerful and sovereign and good. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your faithfulness to us. And I thank you that in your love and faithfulness, you speak words of life to us in Scripture. And Lord, today I pray that you would help us to have ears to hear and hearts to understand, and Lord, a spirit that is willing to obey what you teach us. We do not want to misunderstand this passage. We do not want to misunderstand the gospel, nor you. So Lord, help us today to have a spirit of understanding, and God, help us to apply it. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I alluded to this in my prayer just a moment ago. Have you ever had a misunderstanding? You know, where you thought you understood something and come to find out you didn't. You know, we can get in a lot of trouble with misunderstandings. You know, some of them are major, some of them are minor. I want to share with you a misunderstanding that I had way back when. You know how it is. You don't remember everything from your childhood, but you have those moments in your childhood that just scar you forever, that you'll never forget. No matter how old you are, you can kind of remember the room, remember what happened. I had one of those moments when I was in first grade when I had a pretty big misunderstanding. I was in first grade. I was in Miss Roberts' first grade class. And I remember we were working on our letters and the letter sounds and that sort of thing. And so we were talking about the letter O, and we were learning the difference between a short O and a long O. You know the difference between a short O and a long O, right? Like the sound, the ah sound versus the O sound. We were going over our O's. And you know what? I was like, I got it. I understand it. Well, we had a test the next day over the letter O and the short O and the long O. So I got my little test, and I still remember there's a picture of a pot on there, because like pot, right, the letter O. So I remember writing my answers to that test. I remember being so confident, man, I've got this. But I messed up because I got my short O and my long O mixed up. And so all the ones that were long O's, I put short O. And all the ones that were short O, I put long O. And I remember turning that test in thinking I had nailed it. And I remember getting my test back as a first grade boy and seeing at the top a big fat zero. And you know, to add insult to injury, you know what the letter zero looks like? An O, right? To this day, I hate the letter O. Hate it. Loathe it. But you know what? That misunderstanding was relatively minor. I survived first grade. I survived my school, okay? And I do know the difference between a short and a long O. But here's the thing. Sometimes misunderstandings aren't that trivial. They aren't that minor. And sometimes if you misunderstand directions or you misunderstand a concept, it's not just a bad grade. A misunderstanding can be fatal. It can mean the difference between life and death. And today we're going to look at one of those types of misunderstandings. We're going to look at this fact that if you misunderstand Jesus, it is fatal to your soul. So here's today's big idea. We cannot afford a misunderstanding about Jesus. We cannot afford a misunderstanding about Jesus. In today's passage of Scripture, we're going to see a couple of different groups of people who did not fully understand who Jesus was or what he was teaching them. And today, we do not want to fall into that trap. We want to understand who he is. We want to understand his call for our lives, because if we don't, we'll miss it. We'll miss the kingdom. We cannot afford to have a misunderstanding about Jesus. So, if we're going to avoid a misunderstanding, how do we do that? Reminds me of something a friend of mine from Pelham always said. He says, if you want to avoid a misunderstanding, you've got to have an understanding. And so today, let's have an understanding about who Jesus is and what he says. So grab your outline. Let's walk through our verses today as we finish Matthew chapter 13. And if we're going to avoid a misunderstanding about Jesus, there are two questions that this passage leads us to ask. Two questions that keep us from having a misunderstanding about Jesus. Question number one, do you have a complete understanding about the kingdom? Do you have a complete understanding about the kingdom? As you look in verse 51, Jesus asks this question to his disciples. He says in verse 51, have you understood all these things? Now, before we get any further, we need to know what these things are that Jesus is referring to. What are the things he's asking his disciples if they understand? Well, if you zoom back out and you look at Matthew 13, he's talking about the parables. Let me give you a little bit of context. Matthew 13, those of you who've been with us, we've walked through these verses the past few weeks. If you remember, Jesus is sitting in a boat just off of the shore, and the crowd is gathered there on the shoreline of what we call the Cove of the Sower. They're packed in there. They're listening to Jesus, kind of like a natural amphitheater area. He's teaching them from the boat. But how did he teach them? He didn't just teach a regular old message. He used what we call parables. Parables are these earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. He would use earthly things and earthly symbols to communicate heavenly principles about the kingdom of God. And so if you remember, as Jesus taught all these parables to the people there on the shoreline, there were essentially a couple of responses. Some people understood them, some didn't. I mean, he used all kinds of things, right? We talked about the parable of the soil and the weeds and the parable of the leaven, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the net and the treasure. All these parables we've talked about, do you remember the principles? Some people understood them. And some people didn't. Some people had hearts that were ready to receive the truth. Some people's hearts were hardened and they turned away from the message. So at the conclusion of all of these things, Jesus pulls the disciples aside and he has this little side conversation with them in today's text. And he asks them this question. He says, "Have you understood all of these things?" In other words, have you understood everything I've taught you about the kingdom through these parables? And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the response of the disciples, and then we're going to look at Jesus' subsequent response and see what he has to say we need to do to understand. If we're going to understand about the kingdom, we need to do two things. First of all, we need an appetite for the complete word. We need an appetite for the complete word. Again, Jesus' question, verse 51 to the disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes." Now, I'll be honest. When I read that verse, it makes me laugh a little bit because they're lying. They don't understand it all. There's no way they understand it all. They haven't understood it all to this point. And if you flip over to the right one more page in chapter 14, they're going to specifically say to Jesus, "Jesus, we don't understand what you're talking about." They did not have a full, complete understanding of what he says to them. It's kind of like, you know, you ever done that when someone asks you a question that you don't understand and you just say, "Yeah, sure." It kind of reminds me right now, because I needed something else to do in my life, I'm coaching my son's baseball team. Okay, so I'm John David's baseball coach, and we just started the year, and some of you guys out there, you know what it's like to coach a baseball team, and coaching 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds, and so trying to help them learn the game and learn to hit and learn to field and learn to throw, and you know, hitting in particular can be challenging for them. So you know, you pull the kid to the side and you pull them up to a bat and tee and a net, and you're trying to work with them. All right, let me see your swing. All right, well, here you do, man, your shoulder's flying out and you're stepping over in the bucket, and man, you got to take the knob to the ball. And do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right, so get up there and show me your swing. Same exact thing, right? All right, kid, just swing hard, right? Have fun, swing hard. You know how it is. Sure, I think you want me to say yes when you ask me if I understand, so I'm going to say yes because I think that's the right answer. That's what the disciples are doing right here. Hey, Jesus, we understand what you're saying, but really, really they don't. But without throwing the disciples too deep into the creek, let me just give them the benefit of the doubt. This is very important. Their answer, when Jesus tells them, "Do you understand?" and they say yes, even though they didn't fully get it, they wanted to fully get it. You understand? They wanted to know about the kingdom. They wanted to know from Jesus the secrets of the kingdom. They believed Jesus had the secrets of the kingdom. They were listening to him intently. Did they fully understand everything at this point? No, the scripture confirms that, but they wanted to. And church family, therein lies the difference. Do you fully understand everything about the kingdom? I don't. I don't fully understand everything about God and the kingdom and his word. I mean, think about it. There are things I don't understand about the nature of God. I can't explain to you every aspect of who he is. There are things I don't understand about the will of God. I don't know why he allows certain things to happen the way that he allows them to happen. There are many things that I do not understand, but you know what? I want to. I want to know him. I want to know him more. I believe he has the answers. I believe he has the word of life, as Peter later says. I believe that he has that. I want to know. And that's the principle here. You may not fully understand everything, but you better have an appetite to. You better have a desire to want to know the truth about God from his complete word. Will you understand everything every time? No. Let it lead you to further understanding. You see, when you don't understand something, you can either walk away in frustration or you can say, "No, I want to dig deeper until I can figure this thing out." In the same way, let me use that baseball illustration, right? If your swing's messed up and you're not doing very good, what do? Do you quit, throw in the towel, keep doing the same thing? No. You find someone who knows and you keep getting better at it. You work at it and work at it and work at it. So if you don't understand a Bible verse, you don't understand a sermon, you don't understand a principle about the kingdom, don't let that lead you away. Let it lead you to the one who has the answers. Let it give you an appetite for what is good, what is right, and what is true. Paul puts it this way in 2 Timothy, chapter 2. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Dig deep. Do you understand everything fully right now? I don't. But do you want to? That's the question. Do you have an appetite for the complete word? But there's a second principle here. If you want to fully understand the kingdom, you have to have an appetite for the complete word, but you secondly have to have an awareness of the complete word. You have to know what the complete word is. And to teach us this, Jesus gives us one more parable here in this chapter. Verse 52, he says to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Now, you may say, well, I don't see a parable there. Your Bible may not have a heading for a parable. I believe this is a parable because Jesus uses an illustration here about the kingdom. He says that the scribes who are trained for the kingdom of heaven are like something. So if you're going to understand this parable, we need to understand what a scribe who is trained for the kingdom of heaven is. Well, let's start with the word scribe. The scribes, you remember, we've talked about them now several times in Matthew. The scribes were the religious experts, right? They knew the law. They understood the law. They understood the teachings. They would copy the law. They would teach the law. They were experts in it. Now, the Jewish scribes, they didn't understand necessarily about the kingdom. They understood the law, or at least they thought they did, and they had all these extra things that had been added to it, and they had their encyclopedias, and they could turn to the references of all the things that they knew. But they missed the kingdom because they didn't follow Jesus. They were not trained in the kingdom of heaven. They were trained in the kingdom of the world. They were trained in the law only. So Jesus says a scribe who is trained in the kingdom of heaven, or in other words, a disciple, is like this. He says he's like a master of the house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The master of the house would, maybe a kind of a loose equivalent would be a rich man who has an estate, right? An estate owner, someone who has some possessions. And he says the disciple who's trained in the kingdom is like a wealthy landowner who goes into his storehouse, into his treasure house, and he comes out with treasure. And some of that treasure is new, and some of that treasure is old. Now here's what Jesus is saying. The man who has the treasure has some new treasure and he has some old treasure. You know the difference? But you know what makes them similar? They are both valuable. New treasure is treasure. Old treasure is treasure. They're both valuable. That's what Jesus' point is about the scribes who were trained for the kingdom of heaven. Here's his point. His point is not about treasure. It's not about money and worldly things. What he's talking about is the truth. The true treasure of God's word. He says there's old and there's new and they're both valuable. If you want a complete understanding of what Jesus is saying, if you want to completely understand the kingdom, you've got to take in what's new and what's old. The context here is the Jews were stuck where? In the old. The old covenant, the old way, the old word of the law. What they were doing is they were basing their faith on two things. They were basing it on their bloodline as Jews. They felt like they were going to get to heaven because they were descendants of Abraham. Jewish people, right? Family of God. They were basing it on their blood, and they were basing it on their knowledge and adherence to the law of Moses. The old covenant, right? If you obey my law, I will be your God, you will be my people. So they're basing their faith on that. The old covenant, the covenant of the people of Israel. But when Jesus comes along, what he does is he brings in the new covenant, right? And here's the difference. The new covenant doesn't teach us that we are righteous based on our blood or by our adherence to the law. Here's the difference. The new covenant is based on Christ's blood and Christ's adherence to the law. What we do is we realize we don't have the right blood. We don't have the right righteousness. So what do? We look to Jesus. Jesus is perfect and pure and sheds his blood so that we could be forgiven and have a right relationship with God. That's the new covenant. Anyone who repents of their sin and places their faith in Christ can be a recipient of a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. Old covenant, new covenant. And what Jesus is teaching here is that if you want to understand the kingdom, you've got to have an understanding of both of these things. Here's what Jesus did not do. When Jesus came onto the scene teaching and preaching, you know what he didn't do? He didn't say, oh, you see those scribes, you see those Pharisees, all that lost stuff, just throw it out, get rid of it. You don't need it anymore. You just need me. That's not what he says. You remember what he said? We studied this way back in Matthew 5. Seems like an eternity ago. Matthew 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. What did he say? Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes, there you go, and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You hear what he's doing? He's saying, I didn't come to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I came to complete the old, to fulfill the old. You need the old and the new. Let's talk about it as believers for a moment. You know, a lot of times, you know, the Old Testament and the Old Covenant aren't exactly the same thing, but there's some similarities here when we think about it. A lot of people look at Scripture and they say, well, I don't really need the Old Testament stuff because it's the Old Covenant. It's all the old law and it's all the old details, and I don't really need that. I'm a New Testament Christian. All I need is Jesus. You know, maybe as a principle of this, an application of this, if you are reading along with us right now, you know, as a church, we're trying to read through Scripture together. We talk about it every week. If you're following along in our reading plan, we're in two Old Testament books right now, the book of Psalms and the book of what? Somebody tell me. Leviticus, right? And I heard the excitement in your voice as you said it, Leviticus. Man, some of you could not wait to get there, right? Now, what do? We get to a book like Leviticus, and we're like, oh, Leviticus, I've been there before. That's where like the Bible reading plan stops, right? You get there and you're like, oh, I just can't keep going. I don't understand it. It's all the laws. It's all the rules. It's all the weird regulations and all the blood stuff. I just don't get it. I'm just going to kind of jump ahead to Joshua, right? And we'll pick back up there. But here's the thing. Reading the book of Leviticus as a believer is so rich. Because what everything in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and every other Old Testament book does is it points us to Jesus. It points us to Christ, who is the fulfillment of all these things. So as you're reading Leviticus this week and reading about the sacrifices and reading about the priests and reading about the rules of worship and all those things, what you see is it's Jesus who's the fulfillment of all of that. And so that's Jesus' point. If you want to understand the kingdom, it's both. It's not either or. It's both old and new. I put it for you there simply in your notes this morning. You need an understanding of both the Old and the New Testaments to have a complete understanding of the kingdom of God. Both the old and the new. Here's the problem. The Jews limited themselves to the old, so they missed it. Some people try to limit themselves to the new, and they miss the fullness of it. Jesus says they're both treasure. And if you want to be wise, and if you want to be rich and fully understand, he says you bring the new and the old together. They go together. So, do you have a complete understanding of the kingdom? Do you know the parables of Jesus? Do you know what he's teaching? Do you know what he means? Do you know what Scripture says? Because you've got to read it. You've got to dig into it. You've got to study it, have an appetite for it and its fullness to fully understand the kingdom of God. Question number one, do you have a complete understanding of the kingdom? And if not, let it lead you to one. But question number two, as we continue in our text today, we see that we have to ask a second question. Not just do we have complete understanding of the kingdom, but secondly, do we have complete faith in the king? Do we have complete faith in the king? I've mentioned to you several times, matter of fact, Henry and I were talking about this week, the Bible is not primarily a book of information, it's a book of what? Application. God calls us to live out what we learn. It's not enough just to read a bunch of stories and know a bunch of verses. So when we ask that first question, listen to me, do you completely understand the kingdom? Hear me. It is possible for you to understand every parable about the kingdom and every teaching that Jesus ever said about the kingdom. It's possible to understand those things and still not know the king behind the kingdom. That is a dangerous place to be. So we have to ask the second question. Not just do I understand what Jesus said, but do I know Jesus? Have I put my faith in the King? And if we're going to do that, if we're going to really put faith in the King, it's going to require, likewise, two things. Look at your outline with me. The first thing it requires is, if you're going to put your faith in the King, you have to have a complete awe for the works of Christ. The complete awe for the works of Christ. Verse 53 continues the story here. It says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. Coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. So what happens here is the scene shifts. Jesus goes from the boat in the cove of the sower, gets on the shore, and he begins to go and make his way to his hometown. Now, if you know your Bible, you know the hometown of Jesus is Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, right? I should have put a map together. I didn't. But if you picture the Sea of Galilee, Jesus has been on the very top of the Sea of Galilee. He's been up there in Capernaum and that area. He's kind of gone southwest now to the town of Nazareth. And as Jesus gets to Nazareth, his hometown, right? It's like a homecoming. And when he gets there, what does he do? He goes to the same place he normally goes when he goes to a new town and does the same thing he normally does, which is he goes to the synagogue, the local community of faith there in the Jewish community where the word is taught. Jesus goes there and he begins to teach in the synagogue. And as Jesus begins to teach in the synagogue, people are hearing it and they start asking these questions. Hey, who is that teaching today? Oh, that's Jesus. Jesus? You talking about Mary and Joseph's boy? Yeah, that Jesus. Man, did you hear what he said? That Jesus? Man, you talking about the brother of James and Judas? Yeah, that Jesus. Did you hear the message? They start asking all these questions. But we need to understand something. When they ask these questions aren't just innocent questions seeking information. These were accusing questions seeking to discredit Jesus. Notice the train of the conversation. Hey, that's Jesus. You remember Jesus? Yeah, I remember him. I remember him playing in the yard. What's he doing teaching all this stuff? I mean, who does this guy think he is? He's teaching all this newfangled things, and he's talking things that are different from the Pharisees, and I don't know if I like that. I mean, who does he think he is? I mean, he needs to remember where he came from. This guy needs to go back to his roots. He's gotten too big for his britches. You know, your grandmother ever tell you that? Too big for his britches. That's the nature of the questions. They're not really wondering. They know who Jesus is. They just don't like what he's saying. And so the very people there in Jesus' town who know him the best, they completely missed who he was. Look at that there in your notes. The people most familiar with Jesus completely missed who he was. The people who'd watched him grow up, who knew his family, they knew everything about Jesus. But they refused to follow him. You know what they did? The Bible says they took offense at him. We've seen this phrase a couple of times already in the Gospel of Matthew. The word to take offense literally means they tripped over him. They stumbled over him. It's the same word when Peter talks about a stumbling block. That's what Jesus is saying here. They stumbled over him. They didn't choose him as the cornerstone. They reject him and they go the opposite way. He's a barrier to them coming to know the Lord. They're going to go the opposite way. They took offense at him. The people who knew him the best. This leads me to a second little principle there in your notes. When you think about them, they knew Jesus, they saw the things he did, they heard all the messages, they saw the miracles, and they still rejected him. And it leads me to this conclusion. It's very possible to be amazed by Jesus without aligning yourself with Jesus. It's very possible. These guys saw it all, they knew everything about him, but they stopped short. Did you see the word earlier in the verse? They were astonished at his teaching. They stopped there. Their progression went from astonishment to a little bit of apprehension, I'm not really sure, to complete antagonism. I do not like this man. I don't want anything to do with him. I want to get out of here and get away from him. You and I will never understand the kingdom or have faith in the King if we follow that same progression that the people of Nazareth did. Instead, when we hear the words of Jesus and see what Jesus does and see how he works in the people's lives around us and how he works in our own life, it should lead us to a complete sense of awe, a complete sense of worship, a complete sense of glory because of who he really is. The people of Nazareth missed it. They misunderstood. If you want to have complete faith in the King, you've got to have complete awe in the works of Christ. But there's something else you need to understand. You must also, secondly, have a complete acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ. A complete acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ. Listen to Jesus' response to the people of Nazareth. When they took offense at him, Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." See, the people in Nazareth missed it. To them, Jesus was just Mary and Joseph's boy, and that was all he was ever going to be to them. So they took offense at him. They didn't listen to his teaching. They essentially ran him back out of town. So in response, Jesus said to them, that's a common attitude. You know the old phrase, familiarity breeds contempt, right? Those who knew him best, they're the ones who hated him the most. And so Jesus says this phrase that's even repeated outside the church today, that a prophet's not without honor except in his hometown. But beyond that, we see something even more significant in the very next phrase. It is a saddening, heartbreaking verse. What's the response? Because of their unbelief, verse 58 says, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Doesn't that just break your heart? We're talking about the people who knew Jesus the best, his neighbors, distant relatives. I mean, we're talking about people who know him, they've seen him, and he's right there in front of them. The Savior, the miracle worker, the Master, the Lord is there, and he's doing miracles, and he's done all these other things, and he wants to do it for them, and they take offense at him, and they don't believe, and so Jesus does not do many mighty works there. And as I read that verse, I'm reminded of a principle that I've shared there in your notes. When we withhold honor from Jesus, he withholds power from us. If you don't honor him and serve and bring him glory and hold him up the way he deserves to be held up, he will not work in your life the way that he will in those who do. Now, this is not some prosperity gospel stuff that if you just pray your prayers, you get rich. I'm not talking about that malarkey. What I'm talking about is this, that if you really know Jesus, if you really walk with him, if you really trust him and obey him and dig into the word, you know what he gives you? He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit, and he guides you and leads you and encourages you and gives you exactly what you need. He moves in your life to minister to other people. But if you don't follow him and don't acknowledge him, you miss out on the power of God moving in your life the way that he wants to. Church family, that's a heartbreaking thing. To be so close, to know the facts, to even know his earthly identity, and miss the kingdom because you misunderstand the Savior and the King. And this takes me back to where we started. I hope you've seen as we've walked through these verses today, a misunderstanding about Jesus is not a minor thing. We cannot afford to misunderstand Jesus. We can't misunderstand who he is, and we can't misunderstand what he tells us about himself and what he tells us to do. The disciples, they didn't fully understand, even though they said they did, but they wanted to. And what we see is they continue to pursue him, even sometimes in ignorance, and they follow him. They fail, they get up, but they keep following him, and they change the world by the power of the Spirit. The people of Nazareth, they didn't understand Jesus either, but they didn't want to. They rejected him and took offense. Church family, if you want to completely understand the King and his kingdom, you've got to develop an appetite for the truth that's found in his word, old and new. And you have to completely surrender yourself to the Lordship of Christ, giving him the honor that he alone deserves. So let me just ask you those two questions one more time. Do you completely understand the kingdom? Do you completely understand all that we've been talking about in Matthew, the message of the gospel, the message of faith in Christ? Do you understand that? And maybe you say, well, you know what? I understand a lot of it, but I don't understand all. That's okay. Keep pursuing Christ. Keep leaning on him and asking him to guide you in the truth. Or maybe you don't understand very much at all. The answers are right here in his word. But then secondly, do you have complete faith in the King? Not do you know Bible verses? Not do you know about Jesus? But have you put your faith in him? Or are you like the people of Nazareth who have a lot of knowledge but no relationship? You remember what Jesus said? There are going to be many, many people who stand before the Lord one day and say, hey, I knew a whole lot about you. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Where do you stand today? Do you understand him or have you misunderstood? Would you pray with me this morning as we consider the word of the Lord? Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, I know there have been many times in my life where I've misunderstood you. God, sometimes just because of my ignorance, but God, many times because I failed to read your word, or Father, because I simply didn't like what you had to say, so I chose to go my own way. Father, forgive us when we do those things. And Father, lead us to a right understanding of who you are. God, you've given us the keys to the kingdom. Lord, it's the gospel. Repent, place our faith in you, and walk with you, Father, under the power of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would understand that and not misunderstand what it takes. And Lord, I pray that you cultivate within me, that you cultivate within this church, a hunger for your word. God, to not just know it, but to do it. And God, to live for your glory. So God, help us now to have an understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.